Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Good morning, and welcome to the Business Bunk Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is Friday, the 28th of February. It's the end of February already.
It's nearly Christmas.
Shut up, you're out. Get out now.
Right, it's nearly the summer. It's nearly the summer.
That's what we want. All this trying to keep it clean. Lovely weather that we're having at the moment.
I'm not sure what summer looks like with the weather. It could be. Anything.
No. Was it Storm Jorge coming in now? Storm Jorge. It's basically, it's going to be very wet and windy again.
It will be.
What I don't get is, why does it keep hitting at weekends? We'll wait till everybody's not having to travel to work, and then we'll hit.
It's just as well, because otherwise it would be carnage.
Can you imagine? I can just tell you, if anybody that has a horse will appreciate, we hate the rain. Now, seriously, you like mud up to your eyeballs and wet and cold and not good.
You'll know this as well. Anyone that's got a 7-year-old who loves the rain,
yes,
just as annoying.
Can we go for a walk now?
Can we take the dog for a walk in the mud?
Yeah, no. Exactly. As you can hear, I am joined in the studio today by our security expert. He is just our security expert, the wonderful Richard Bell of Ten Intelligence.
I thank you.
Hello.
Good morning. Good morning.
We have been having a good old chat up this morning. Talking about all types of things, business, security, viruses, all sorts of things. So Richard and I are going to lots to speak about today. Richard does like scaring the hell out of us with security, and it's really nice. Actually, we're going to focus on specifically small businesses this morning because we know majority of our listeners are small businesses. But we do want to hear from you, the listeners. So please, if you're out there and you haven't been blown away yet or drowned or whatever, give us a tweet at Bunker Extra with the hashtag BeExtraBeBunker. Let us know how your week's been. Let us know how your February's been. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what also this year is very, very special? Because it is obviously a leap year this year.
Is it?
Yeah. So tomorrow is the 29th of February.
Okay.
Which means that any women out there who have been waiting for ages for their men to propose to them and can't be bothered to wait anymore.
DM me. No? Oh, is that the time
they
when
can ask the question themselves?
Oh, okay.
February the 29th.
But they can do that any time of the year as well now, because it is 2020.
Well, possibly, because it's supposed to be just the 29th, isn't it? So, but this morning on Heart Radio, I thought it was quite cool. They had loads of guests coming in the studio, couples, and then the women were popping the question live on air.
Ah.
And the men knew nothing about it. They were just having like a visit to the Heart studio or whatever. And they had, I think, 5 or 6 of them. And, of course, luckily all the men said yes.
Do you think the women go to the dad or the mum of the man that they're trying to propose to and ask permission for their hand?
Probably not, no. Yeah, but to be fair, they've probably been in a relationship for a very long time and they've given up waiting, so they're just doing it.
That's true.
Doing it.
The man doesn't want to get married.
Paul's just messaged me to say he's out all day and all evening tomorrow. Yeah, but you didn't hear what Richard just said, Paul. It's 2020, so you've got any day this year we can ask.
Any day it can happen, Paul. Stay away.
I do like making him worry.
It's nice to know someone's listening, though.
So, yeah, exactly. At least Paul's listening. So any of you out there, any of you ladies out there that have been waiting for a very long time for your partners to ask you to marry them and you want to marry them and you don't want to wait anymore, there you go.
Pop oh, I tell you what, why don't you?
Contact
us and we'll do it.
Yeah,
online.
We'll do it for you. Yeah, give us a tweet. Would you like to ask the other half to marry you? Give us a tweet. We'll phone them up and we'll do it for you.
Actually, let's not stop there. If you want to divorce your partner. No, okay.
Right. Yeah, let's okay. Shall we move on from that one? I quite like that one. We've got a lovely tweet from Lisa Settle.
Hey.
Glad to hear you back on
back
air.
On air, yeah.
And leap year proposals. Whose game?
Well, I know Lisa's spoken for. So,
exactly. A lot of people out there are spoken for, aren't they? So, yeah, and I married. I mean, married a long time. You know, my mum and dad have been married, I think it's their 50th wedding anniversary this year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Serial killers get
this. Exactly. That's probably what my dad would say. But it's funny, isn't it? Because these days you don't see a lot of long-term relationships. Everything is just super fast, done, dusted, moving on type of thing.
Yeah,
it happens
swipe
a lot.
Right. Swipe right. I mean, you know, I'm a firm believer of the marriage system and being married and stuff, but I recognise that, you know, being in a partnership is just as important now. So I think people have sort of changed their outlook. Maybe marriage isn't the way forward. Maybe piece
don't
of
say
paper.
That.
It's not a topic that I usually talk
yeah,
about.
Yeah.
I've done it once. That's enough.
Lucky you. but yeah, no, it is funny. It is that year. So ladies out there, let us know. Give us a tweet if you've done it. If you popped the question, not this year, but if you popped it in the past.
The question.
If you popped the question in the past, and that is why you're still married.
And what did they say?
Okay, this is getting completely ridiculous. So
it feels like a Christmas show because there's nobody else. It's just us.
It's just us talking. I was about to say rubbish. Then we're not talking rubbish. We've got some lovely tweets out there. We've got the lovely Tracy Ferguson who said, "Have a great show today." She's volunteering at her literacy club today, but she will listen back over the next couple of days, which she always does, and it's always lovely to have Tracy's feedback tweets as she's listening to the show, so that's great. We've had a tweet from, oh my gorgeous Paul Andrews. Can we have a bunker shout out for his son Stuart? So his son Stuart is running the London Marathon and raising money for Alzheimer's research in
April.
And could you share this post and read his story? I'm not going to read the whole story out because it's quite a long story. Let me bring it up. There is a post on, if you follow the post on the Kent Business Radio, and we retweet it. But it was after three long years of battle of vascular dementia. His amazing grandmother passed away earlier last year in July. And obviously, anybody that's dealt with relatives that have dementia or Alzheimer's, you know, it's a horrible, horrible disease. My auntie has it. She's had dementia for many years, and my uncle as well, from my dad's side. So a lot of people do suffer from it. So it's a horrible disease. And I think Alzheimer's research, isn't it, he's doing it for, is great, because if we can find out what causes it and prevent it, there are obviously a lot more preventative or medicines that help slow it down these days, which is always good.
So it certainly put some controls on it, doesn't it, now?
Yeah, absolutely. So
why do you think, because Alzheimer's quite rightly is now getting the visibility that it deserves, and beforehand you sort of felt that it was more isolated, you know, it's become as popular to talk about, I'm not saying to get, as cancer. You know, there's obviously been a groundswell around trying to share this information now, and the difficulties and challenges. I know people have been on TV programs saying I live with my, you know, my dad, my mum, and stuff like that. So it's good that it's getting the visibility, but it's interesting the reasons why.
I think maybe just because I guess mental health altogether now is an acceptable subject to talk about, whereas for whatever reason, in the past, it's never been an acceptable conversation. We're not allowed to talk about, you know, mental health and stress and all those type of things. So I guess Alzheimer's, you know, it was considered to do with mental health and the brain and everything. So people haven't, you know, don't talk about it so much or looked at how many people it affects and you know, how many people die from related illnesses to the dementia.
Yeah. So, 'cause it is one of those diseases that people suffer in silence with, don't they? And the people around them. It's much like any mental health issue. You've obviously got the person that's going through it, but equally it's those that are trying to support it. That's where the burden really lies as well, doesn't it?
Yeah, arguably, very much.
They don't know much about what's going on, and it's upsetting for them because their frustrations and everything else. But, you know, Stuart, Paul, yourself, others that are in a close proximity of that happening.
Yeah.
Is the stuff that we should be talking about. So
yeah, absolutely. Great. I read once an article about a place in Sweden where they actually built a village for dementia or Alzheimer patients. So it's a safe environment where they could actually live almost like a normal life. So there's houses, and they had shops and restaurants and that type of thing, but within this village, so that people could, as I say, they would live in it, because they obviously they don't recognise people, you know, their loved ones and everything, but they still need to have that personal contact with other human beings.
Yeah, sure.
And so this village in Sweden, so obviously they have carers sort of living on site with them, but it's just like living in a little village, basically. Yeah. And I think it's a brilliant idea just to give a better quality of life rather than shutting them into a home or a hospice something.
And like I'm sure technology's got a part to play in some of this sort of continued care and aftercare. I know, you know, AI is coming through and trying to sort of help specific topics and individuals. So this, you know, this strikes me like in Sweden, and I'll research it, but, you know, the use of technology and how that's applied will help them as well. And that's, you know, that's a good thing about the, you know, being in the 20s, that technology and the environment in the next 5 to 10 to 15 years can shape some of these issues. Obviously, the medical profession still needs to do their aspects and research and all that. But, you know, the output of it through technology is going to be quite an interesting space.
Yeah, good to watch. But if you do, Stu is asking for your support, so I think it's a fantastic cause. If you follow, if you don't already, because to be fair, half the world already follows Paul on Twitter, at Vanilla Web, and or go to the Kent Business Radio, radio.co.uk/Alzheimer's, and there's a blog with Stu's full story. But I think anybody running the London Marathon deserves a huge, you know, congratulations, because that's quite a feat.
Oh, thank you very much.
Yeah, and you've done it, haven't you?
Twice, yes.
Twice.
I dine out on that all the time. I will do it one more time.
Was that 20 years ago when you were 20 years younger?
It wasn't far
now you're getting old and aching.
No, I could probably do the wheelchair aspect of the London Marathon. It is an amazing day. Stuart's going to have great fun. It's going to be hard, but it's an amazing day. And the one thing that I'll take away from both of the times that I did it, and I never, you know, I wasn't a runner, I never really prepared, is that you see London in a different way, and the love and support that you get on the sidelines from kids and everybody is just amazing. Yeah. And he'll obviously have Asama UK support with him as well. It's going to be a great day, well worth it.
Definitely.
Good luck, and I will sponsor you.
Thank you. And I think we should actually go up there, Paul. I think we should all go up there to support him on the day, because I know Lucy would love it as well. She's very much, even though she's only eight, like the last few years when they've spoken about it at school and she's heard about it, she's like, oh, can we go and watch it, can we go and watch it? So I think this year will be the year that we'll go up and we'll support from the sidelines, waving our flags
it's
and stuff
day.
So absolutely. Brilliant. So do follow Paul and find out more about that. We've also had a tweet from Fruit Bowl Media who said, good morning, can we have a bunker shout out please? They're pleased to sponsor the Networkers Networking event taking place at Eastwell Manor on the 18th of March. If you follow, it's the lovely link that Twitter then shortens. But if you basically go to evexio.co.uk/whats-on, click on the Networkers Networking event, and all the details are there. A great event that I came up with a couple of years ago, because we all know that networking for businesses is the best way to make connections, meet people. And then obviously through those connections, generally you end up getting work or referrals or something like that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people go, there's so many people that just don't know how to network. And they'll come up to you, they'll go, oh, hello, my name's so-and-so and this is what I do. Give you a business card and that's it, rather than actually begin to build those relationships. And Kent is very prolific for networking. There's a lot of networking groups and everything. And they come, they go. People change. As your business grows, you don't network as much because you haven't got the time, all those type of things. Yeah. But the Networkers Networking event is all about helping business owners to understand how to be effective with their time and efficient when they're networking.
Yeah.
So basically we have a couple of speakers. This one we've got Tabitha Beasley, who's the marketing assistant, and our very own Hax from Hax Media. And they're both going to be covering marketing. Obviously what we also want to do is train and teach you on different ways to help build and grow your business, but then also how networking is involved in part of your marketing strategy, because it is part of your marketing strategy. And we also have really great networking activities, and one of the networking activities is we've got a team building company coming in, team building escape on site. And they basically, it's like an escape room in a bag.
Yep.
And you have to solve the puzzles and clues before a toxic gas is released into the room. It's so exciting. Like, all this, you're going to have to go into groups and they've got to work out all these things and then find the key to undo the padlock to turn the bomb off or something like that.
Cool.
So very secure, honestly.
Which just sounds like a normal day in the office.
Exactly. That's a normal day for you. You better not come along, or if you are on my team.
No, unfortunately, I can't make that day, but I certainly will go to the next one.
Yeah, thank you. But yeah, so that's really good. But that's the thing, isn't it? Most of the important thing about networking is interaction.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's, you find it difficult to interact because you don't know what to say. Yeah. You don't want to come across as being sort of pig-headed or, you know, talking about too much about yourself and your business. Well, some people don't. Some people actually quite love talking about themselves and the business. I don't know who they would like, but people will be. But also a lot of people to say to me, I had a novice networker, as we like to call them, email me yesterday and said, like, do you think your event will be suitable? I'm new to networking. And I think one of the main things a lot of people have when they start networking is they have imposter syndrome. They don't feel they have the right to be
Absolutely.
There and maybe, you know, don't believe enough in themselves to be able to talk about themselves. But the key to networking is not to talk about yourself, is to get them, the other person to talk about them and then find out as much as you can about them. So, but by bringing in the team building company is great because they're going to interact with each other. Whether you want to speak to somebody or not, you'll find yourself, you know, come on, let's do this and do it that way type of thing. So you'll be working together. So it's a fantastic,
good one.
Really
good
looking one. Forward to that. Later on in the year, in July, when we do the event, we're going to have the hacker come in and teach everybody how to do the famous All Blacks hacker.
Yep.
Which will be great. Yep. But this one, say we've got Escape on site. And then also what we do is some round tables so people can discuss subjects which are quite quite popular at the moment with regards to business. And that works. So it's at Eastwell Manor, which is an amazing venue. It's gorgeous, gorgeous, gorgeous. From 10 till 3. We've got some amazing sponsors. So we have Lisa Sittle and Telcare. We have Sue Hainsby, Carleen Lettons. We have Simon Webster from Talis Financial Advisors. The FSB are supporting it. Fruit Bowl Media are supporting it. So it's great to have those businesses supporting us, which is great. Yeah. We just need the attendees now. So book on. If you want to come for the full day, it's just £35. That includes lunch. If you can't come for the full day, but you just want to pop in for a few hours or something, you can do that. You just book without lunch and then pop in morning session, afternoon session, whatever suits you. That's not a problem whatsoever. You don't have to commit the full day if you can't afford to. It's just fine. So if you want to find out more, do go to evexio.co.uk/what's on and click on the Networkers Networking tab. I do love a bit of good networking and just a nice environment. So
I have to say
that.
I've got better at it. Mm. I always struggle. I know you probably think I'm a social butterfly.
Absolutely.
But
only if alcohol's involved, huh?
Yeah, then I become more of a moth. But I do recognise the value of doing that. And, you know, I've certainly made a concerted effort to start going out to places and have a little bit of a plan as to what I want to try and achieve at events, just so that I know that I'm getting value from it. Otherwise, it's very easy. And I did this many years ago when joined sort of professional associations. You sort of turn up, get your glass of wine and sit in the corner.
Yeah.
Or
just talk to the people that you know.
Or just stand talking to the two or three people that you know and you stay in that same group. And then, you know, after three or four occasions, you sort of go, why am I here? What am I doing here? You know, I may as well just go to the pub.
Yeah.
You do need to have a bit of a plan, and anything that helps, you know, people understand what good networking opportunities look like, go along.
Yeah, they're very good. Lots of fun. And we promise not to cancel due to any viruses that might be floating around. What was it? The Budweiser virus or something?
Budweiser virus.
Actually, on a serious note, though, because obviously it is very all over the news at the moment, and it is beginning to cause a bit of panic. Is it a bit of a security nightmare as well when these type of things happen, or is it just a media thing?
It certainly can be, and I'll tell you for why. It's probably more around, have businesses put plans in place to continue, so that sort of resilience aspects of security, to continue business should anything happen. Now, we were, you know, 10 Intelligence, we had a member of staff that returned back from the direct area.
Oh, my God, really?
Yeah, where it happened, and missed all of those imposed restrictions. There was a couple of days before government put in restrictions, so was self assessed and locked away for a couple.
Did you lock
hours.
Her in a cupboard?
and his wife both were told to stay at home for 2 weeks. So he had laptop, but he needed other aspects of the job to perform it. And he only had his laptop by chance because he was returning back from holiday. So we had to make sure that he had enough equipment that was able for him to continue his job at home. And where I think some of the issues may come into it if this progresses, and I think we're on the sort of borders of crisis, whatever that looks like, companies need to put, you know, adequate plans in place to continue business. Mm. And that is the same for if you're hit by ransomware or if you're trying to get the virus out of the box, if you're doing an escape team building exercise before the end of the world. You should always don't work on the premise that it's never going to happen to you. Whether you're a sole trader, a small business, or medium business, larger businesses tend to have people in place to make sure that that's happening. But give some thought as to how you're going to continue operations in the event of ... Mm, and one of those things would be the Bexvir virus that we've got. other well-known breweries. It's just Corona must be like,
they're like, yeah, is it inappropriate that we take advantage of this at the moment?
No, they're marketing people. Go on.
But how much of it is actually a crisis? Is it actually a crisis or is it just the media causing panic?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, isn't it?
Well, the thing is that what my take on it is I don't think it's a crisis yet. I think we'll know it's a crisis, or certainly it's starting to be treated more importantly. Listen, the government will be, you know, they will have eyes on this. They will be talking about this. They are talking about certain plans. I feel as if the media are expecting them to talk more. And as a result, because they're not.
They're making it up.
They're filling that void.
Yeah.
And, you know, certainly GPs and other professionals that work in that arena are starting to share their thoughts about it, which could lead to panic.
Mm.
I don't know the figures, but if you look at our population and the percentage affected by, you know, that's certainly within the realms of acceptability. But we, you know, every day, I think today there was two new cases in England and one in Wales.
Yeah.
Who knows what's going to happen? So I think there is a bit of panic. It's good news story, bad news story, but good news story for media and persons. But unless there's adequate measures put in place, and you know, we spoke about, you know, before going on air, you know, are we looking at schools being locked down for?
Yeah,
2 months?
They were saying on the news this morning that the possibility of a plan of shutting down schools for 2 months. Two months, I think most parents would absolutely have a heart attack if they say, we're going to close the school down for 2 months.
Well, see, and the plan around that, and they'll have to be mindful of making these sort of sweeping statements. It's entirely possible that there will be some hard decisions made that are like that type of output, where something is shut or something is restricted for a prolonged amount of time. Certainly when I worked in the transport arena, you know, there were very well-drilled plans around what it would look like to evacuate London, what that would look like on mass casualties and in the event of major pandemics.
Mm.
So there are plans that are there. They are different responses to those of terror and other types of incidents. It's not beyond the realms that if we don't deal with it now or we don't take positive steps, then you could be looking at 2-3 months down the line that some really hard objectives are put in, and that could result in, you know, closures of stuff. Now, the problem around that is if you shut a school for 2 months, if you shut the schooling system down for 2 months, then those parents have to look after the kids, which has a direct impact on business. Business has a direct impact on UK PLC, and we've only got to look at the markets at the moment to see that, you know, that's already in a precarious position.
Yeah.
Despite what's going on with Brexit, you know, the coronavirus is having an impact on the markets as well. So it all starts to connect, and government, when they do step up and maybe start to have more regular COBRA meetings chaired by a specific minister or in fact the Prime Minister, they'll be taking those decisions as a UK PLC. So, you know, that it's not just going to be council-led. Councils will have the power to shut schools for a small amount of time. But if you're talking about shutting systems down and that whole sort of prolonged system associated with schooling or healthcare or anything else. That's a big government decision.
I mean, what they could do, actually, I've just come up with a brilliant idea. By all means, close the school down, then provide the funds to pay all the parents to stay at home and look after the children and school the children from home. That will work, wouldn't it?
It'd work for us.
Exactly. I'm quite happy with that. They pay me to stay at home and look after my child.
But the information is going everywhere. It's certainly reaching the schools. Any parents out there, you would have received a letter drop or a bag drop or email about coronavirus and what to do and the steps to take. And
no, we haven't.
Have you not?
No. Oh, I better go and ask them. What is your
check your jump mail.
Yeah. I'm going to ask them, what is your coronavirus policy?
It will just be all of the stuff that the National Health England put out. It's gone to churches. I know it's gone to large organisations. It's a one-pager. I think Boots and other known, well-known chemists will have an influx of hand wash, hand sanitizer.
Hand sanitizers.
And the bigger organisations that do have half an eye on these type of incidents will already have a stockpile. I know at TfL they will have a stockpile of hand washes and waters. It's amazing.
The things that happen. We've had a tweet from the Business Diaries. Say in, where's it gone? Are there any storytelling fans out there? Then we'd like you to hear your stories. The next one is at Tunbridge Wells. Tunbridge Wells Storytelling on the 19th of March, 5 days before my birthday. Yes, next from the Sunday is my birthday month. I will be telling you every single day. 19th of March at the Hotel de Ven. Please join us for a fun evening. Also, the podcasts are now available. They're making podcasts from the speakers. I was very honoured to do the first podcast because I was the first ever speaker at the first ever Business Diaries. And it was so much fun just chatting with Lisa and Isla and just discussing the business. I mean, the Business Diaries is such an amazing idea. And literally Lisa just bought them out to run for 1 year because it was the Telcare business anniversary. And obviously they're still going 3 years later because they're so popular. It's great. If you want a little bit more of casual networking, but to hear people's stories, which are always inspirational, some make you laugh, some make you cry, some just make you go, yes. But they're worth going to. But if you follow at the Biz Diaries, B-I-Z Diaries on Twitter, or check out them on Facebook, and then you can keep up to date when their events are. So the next one is Tunbridge Wells one in March, and then later in the year there'll be another one around the Medway area.
If you're a storyteller, certainly get in touch with them. If you like listening to stories, some of the stories that I've heard have just been amazing.
Yeah.
I'm not quite sure which one of the characters categories that my one falls into.
I
don't think I was a yes.
You was in all three. You made us laugh, you made us cry, and then we go, yes.
He's finished.
Yeah, exactly. We had to shut you up there, didn't we?
Yeah, it was only 20 minutes over.
Yeah, only 20 minutes over. But no, do check those out. They're fantastic little events to go to. But we're going to have a quick musical break because probably people are bored of listening to us speaking by now. This is two voices. But I just chose this song because the weather is so miserable at the moment and it really is just getting to us. So I thought we all just needed a bit of... I haven't played it for a while either.
Right.
flexible training solutions for the glass, glazing and wider construction industries. fitfortrade.co.uk. For occupational
jobsinkent.com, the quick and simple way to advertise your job vacancies in Kent, with prices from just £99 per job per month. Visit Kent's largest job site, jobsinkent.com.
Rift Accounting, your small business bodyguard. Riftaccounting.com.
The Networkers Networking Event, a full-day event helping business owners to understand how to network more effectively and efficiently. Three great speakers, eight of the best networking, masterminding and business support groups in Kent, and 50-plus great business owners to meet, network with and connect with. Join us at the Networkers Networking Event. It's an event not to be missed.
This is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
Hello and welcome back. Well, I'm hoping that cheered everybody up. We have no idea what's going on weather-wise outside. We don't know if the storm Hugi, what's his name? Georgie has hit yet. But you are listening to the Business Bunk Extra Radio Show on bizradio.co.uk and channelradio.co.uk/2. It is nearly the end of February. It's February 28th. This is a leap year, so tomorrow is the 29th. One more day of this month. And then we're into March, which is my birthday month. Just like to put that in. Just in case you didn't know, my birthday's in March.
I got that earlier.
You got that? You pick that up?
Yeah, we all did.
As you can hear, my co-host is the fabulous, our security expert, may I just say, Richard Bell from 10 Intelligence.
Good morning.
And we've had some interesting conversations this morning. We've been talking all sorts of things about the viruses, but also, importantly, how it can affect businesses. And I think you've given us some great advice as a business, as you say, just being prepared about, you know, anything and everything, and the virus is just another thing to be prepared for at the end of the day, what to deal with and how to deal with it, and shed loads of hand sanitizer, basically.
Yes, absolutely, and get those things that you put over your mouth.
But I read an article the other day that they're pointless.
They are, and
they don't
ridiculous.
Protect you from anything.
My 7-year-old said, Daddy, I see a lot of doctors walking around at the moment.
Yeah, exactly.
And it took me a while to work out what she meant, but she actually meant that you could see people with the masks over them.
Yeah, I heard I saw an article and somebody was saying about the masks, and she said they won't protect you from anything.
It just stops you covering your face if you're coughing or something.
Yeah.
It looks good, and that's part of the panic, isn't it? It's, you know, if you start seeing people walking around. I mean, they do it in China anyway because of the fog and all of the other stuff that they've got. But you start to see more of that. That starts to whip up a bit of a frenzy around what's going on in the world. And I don't think we're there yet. But yeah, like I said, you know, if we don't take adequate controls and have our media responsible, they still need to be more responsible. If we see more ministers on telly from all different departments, if you see more government ministers on telly starting to quail the panic, that's when you know that the government are panicking.
Oh, okay. So if we get lots of coverage from the members of parliament, worry.
I would. Yeah. Because otherwise...
See, these little secrets. You have to tell us these things, you see. So we would be like, oh, okay, that's good. You know, the government aren't worrying. And now we know that if we do see the government...
But our tolerance level has changed over the years because, you know, you start... Certainly social media, we touched upon, you know, the mental health, and we, you know, recently... The swell of activity against persons and the in support of mental health. But it's the same for these type of things. You know, very quickly you can, the demise of a ministerial post, or in fact prime minister, you know, president of the United States seems to be sort of unaffected by it.
Yeah, but he's not affected by anything, is he?
Well, it's just Trump world, isn't it?
Yeah.
But if the social media starts to pick up and all the other media agencies start to pick up on that noise, then, you know, it is a responsible government's role to step in and to quell that and to put some level of control over it. That happening means that they're thinking differently about it. So, watch this space.
Interesting. So, anyway, moving away from the Budweiser virus. I think they should call it Budweiser virus. It's much more fun.
It is. I suppose if you have actually got the virus and you're stuck indoors in quarantine, I suppose it's not fun. But No. It's an odd name to have. And I know the easy one is the CV or whatever, but it's nowhere near as much fun as the coronavirus.
Coronavirus, no.
So, yes. So we talked about, you know, planning for your organisation to be able to continue business.
Exactly, which leads very nicely into our section in this part of the show about keeping your business safe, basically.
Yes.
And there's an article from, who is it from?
So earlier, I shared a document that's on the National Cybersecurity Centre's website. Certainly go and visit it. It's ncsc.gov.uk. That is they're the agency responsible for protecting the UK, and they've got an investigative role and a protection role within the UK. They also offer a wealth of experience and advice and advisory notices and templates for businesses to use. It's very overlooked. I today just picked out something which is called Cybersecurity Small Businesses. It's meant, it's been developed and produced by the National Cybersecurity Centre specifically for sole traders and small businesses. Now, what it actually goes through, and I've sent a link out on Twitter, but you can easily just search it once you go onto the National Cybersecurity Centre's website. And it just asks 5 or 6 questions and helps frame the discussion and the thought process that a small business, even sole trader, needs to apply when they're thinking about what could happen in the cyber enabled crime or security arena. Now the business guide, it's not that long. It's probably about 13-14 pages, actually 18 pages, but a lot of that's empty stuff.
Have you read the whole thing?
No. but I've read the topics and I've cursory read some of the information, and I'm pleased to say that it's not anything different from what we've been talking about every time I come on the show. And you'll be pleased to know that coming in hard at number 4 is the use of passwords.
Yay, we do love discussing the use of passwords.
About the use of passwords.
And because of you, I changed all my passwords, and now I can never remember what any of my passwords are.
I've done the same. In essence, it looks at 5 specific areas that will have a direct impact on your business, and it starts with backing up your data.
See, this is an interesting one because obviously vital. But there are different options for backing up.
Yeah.
I back up to the cloud, the OneDrive. And you hear different things because Paul will not have an Apple cloud. He's like, nope, they're not. I'm not putting my stuff on there. It's not secure. Not going to happen. Not going to do it. But how secure are these clouds and the drive, you know, up there in space, wherever they be?
Well, they're as secure as they're supposed to be. I mean, well-known providers, whether it be iCloud or OneDrive or similar, reputable, big, large organisations, it is their sole purpose in trying to develop business and continue business to make sure that they have the adequate security measures in place. The advice from the National Cybersecurity Centre is consider operating from the cloud because there is greater protection of making sure that you've got your data at hand, on hand when you need it, and also that the on-prem solution, which, you know, I certainly grew up with, and I know Paul would have certainly worked with in the past, and other organizations, and that's when you've got your own server you upload your data and your information and you image everything to that server. That's where it starts to become tricky, because if you have a problem within the system, so whether you've, you know, there's malware or there's some form of disruption to the business, you are solely reliant on that backup. So that takes an awful amount of energy, work and cost to replace that. Not as much if you're going to the cloud. So the availability, integrity and confidentiality is never really disrupted within the cloud, and if it is, there's a quicker turnaround for them to make sure that your data is available. You still need to identify on your local systems when a particular malware had hit. So if you've received a phishing attack and you've clicked on something and then that's held you up to ransomware, for instance, that email may have come on the estate you know, a week ago, or it could have been first thing in the morning or whatever. So you need to identify. It's not just about making sure that you have a backup.
Mm.
It's what version of the backup do you want to go to?
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because you don't want to reinstall, for want of a better word, the start of the morning, because that's nasty stuff, that virus, that ransomware or whatever, could have been on your network for a couple of weeks. So you may have to go back in time to see what the last best version of your backup was.
And is everything, my stuff goes onto the cloud. Basically, every time I do something, I save it and it goes to the cloud.
Yeah.
That is backing up, basically. Yes, all of my files, all my documents, everything are nice and secure on the cloud.
in essence, the strict advice is to keep it separate from the device that you're operating from.
So right, okay.
Keep it away from your laptop. You should hold minimal information on there anyway, because laptops get lost. If you've certainly got customer data on there, then that starts to bring in the question of Data Protection Act and reportable incidents to the Information Commissioner's Office.
How does that work then? Because with the OneDrive,
yeah,
you have to connect it to your device,
yeah,
for it to work, basically, yeah, in the day. And they sync with each other, which takes an absolute age when you get a new device.
Yeah.
Because to sync all 20 odd thousand selfies that I have in my photos.
Yeah.
I'm not joking. how would you have it on an independent machine if it has to sync with a machine? Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh, no, sorry. What I'm saying is, if I've got my device,
yeah,
and we can go on to mobiles, but if I'm using my laptop, excuse me, I don't want to download it all onto there. And
right.
I want to upload it and get rid of it off of that laptop,
yeah,
as quick as possible. Because your laptop, majority of laptops for sole traders and small businesses won't be secure enough.
Yeah, okay.
But up in the cloud, as long as the next bit that you need to worry about is that connection between the device and the cloud.
Oh, God, there's so much to think about. But that guide you're talking about,
this guide takes you all the way through it. It says consider cloud. It certainly talks about making sure that you keep your smartphone. A lot of businesses are done that use smartphones and tablets now. That's about making sure that you've got the adequate passwords on it, or the use of facial technology, fingerprints, whatever, and zigzags, whichever provider that you use, making sure that that's secure and making sure that it's up to date. That's what annoys people. It's just like the computer system, is that just when you're about to use it or you're sitting down in front of the telly, the scheduled updates start to happen and you can't use your phone or whatever.
Yeah.
It's really important that you keep those up to date. And it goes through what to do to protect yourself from malware and the use of passwords to protect your data. So that's when you're sending customer information or client personal data. It's about protecting that data in transit, because a lot of companies won't have encrypted end-to-end connections.
Yeah.
So it's about protecting that password. There's lots of responsibility that we have to do because of the Data Protection Act 2018. No, I'm not saying the four-letter word, but it's the same thing in essence, GDPR. So there's lots of responsibilities in around what we should be doing anyway. This document helps signpost some of the thought process to going to help yourself protect your organisation.
So it's a good checklist then, isn't it?
People
download it or look at it and sort of write, they can check through it and go, right, I can make sure that I'm keeping my business as secure as possible.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very simply put, but I appreciate that some organisations, some people, individuals, sole traders or small businesses may not understand what the implications or what the assessment is that they need in their organisation. Well, that's when people like myself at Ten Intelligence can sweep in and help them.
I guess that's the thing, isn't it? I bet you get this a lot, where it's, I'm just a small business, I don't need to worry about it.
And yeah, well, absolutely, they have to.
Exactly, anybody in business. It's like somebody I know. She's started her business a couple of years ago now. I won't mention any names. She knows who she is, and I was speaking to her the other day, and I was talking about my insurance. Mm-hmm. She said, "Oh, I haven't got insurance." I mean, what do you mean you haven't got any business? I haven't got any business insurance. What do I need business insurance for? Because you've got a business, so you need to have your insurance. And she's like, oh, I didn't know that. because she was new, because she was a startup, she didn't think she needed to have business insurance. And then what happens if somebody sues you? Well, why would they sue me? But you don't know what's going to happen. And I think that's one of the faults small business owners do have with startups is you try to go through everything that you need to have to run a business. And then things that you think, because you're trying to do too much, like, oh, okay, well, insurance, I don't need that because I'm too small. Oh, security, oh, I don't need to worry about that because I'm a small business.
That's it, yeah.
And that's what mindset you do have, when actually it is the complete opposite.
Yeah.
You know, small businesses can get attacked and do get attacked.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's critical to their business. I mean, big companies, you know, look at Travelex, for instance, that happened on New Year's Eve, and that had a direct impact on the foreign currency markets. They suffered a ransomware attack, or it was malware, ransomware, or whatever. They couldn't get into their systems. Their systems were offline. Mm. That started 6 to 8 months previously, and it only started to come to fruition at the wrong time of the year on New Year's Eve when nobody else is in the office. And it was because someone had clicked on it, and then it just allowed to do the work, but they hadn't prepared for it. And they're a huge organization that work in billions.
Yeah.
And they can survive that, but their brand is obviously impacted by it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Small companies, sole traders, medium businesses, you will not be able to come back from it.
No, it could destroy you, couldn't it? Yeah. We just had a tweet from Lisa. She's saying, I know it's not quite business, but trying to educate her parents re online security. Elderly people are so vulnerable, and the phone calls they get as well.
Yeah,
I got a text the other day from Argos. You have won a £500 voucher. Yeah. Click here. I'm like, No. Sounds amazing, but no, thank you very much. No.
And they do, and you know, the elder generation. I think it's I'm not having a go at Lisa. I think it's our fault if we're putting, you know, a phone which you know you really need experience in doing. I mean, we're all too often now we happily give iPhones to kids and those smartphones to young people and old people.
Yeah,
they just need a Nokia. They just need something that's a brick. They want to use it as a phone.
But the young generation don't do that. They want to play their games on it and chat with each other and that type of thing.
All other types of aspects. The vulnerable the elderly and vulnerable adult community is a real soft area for protecting themselves, and that's why a lot of fraudsters target them, whether it be via the phone calls, because then they start to say, oh, hello, I'm from Barclays Bank, and they try and strike up that relationship, and, you know, the majority of the older community are more trusting, and they're used to speaking to somebody on the phone rather than us doing a lot of online transactions where we're not used to having those conversations. So it's definitely something to consider. And Lisa, maybe that's something that I come back to around the cyber-enabled crime and phone smishing and all other types of aspects of what security and fraud looks like.
Yeah, it'd be quite good. Yeah, we'll cover that next month, definitely. Yeah. Subject, make a note, subject for next month.
We've got
definitely
something to talk about.
Yeah, we've got to make it up this time. But I always joke about you scaring us, but it's just, I know since you've been co-hosting the show, my business is so much more secure because of all the things that I've put in place and you know, changed all my passwords and just...
And the important thing is, has that had an impact to the detriment for your business?
No.
Or do you think... And that's the thing that I feel scared of.
Yeah, I feel secure. It didn't cost me loads of money. It hasn't taken me lots of time. It's just being aware of... And I think a lot of the time we're guilty only of just not being aware
of what's going on
and what's the possibility.
Yeah, absolutely.
And all those type of things. And you say, and if people really do struggle, then obviously you guys at 10 Intelligence are there to advise them, which is great. So you know there's people that you can go to.
Yeah.
And specifically, obviously, you deal very much with those areas.
Yeah.
So...
And it's about trying to educate them. So it's you can't... The cyber or protecting yourself or security as a whole isn't something that's just a fire and forget. It's not something that I can parachute in, fix it all and go away, because the moment you do that, then you're still going to be vulnerable. It's about educating and making sure that you take them on the journey so that they feel more protected and don't actually have to call us. I mean, you know, it's one of those things that, unfortunately, commercially, that is not a viable
plan. We educate you so you don't need us.
It's what we actually want to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's good. Fabulous. Well, there we go. We security, viruses.
Beer.
Proposals. scared a few men out there. I think we covered quite a lot today in the show.
Anyone text?
I know. I can't believe.
Reach out to
There's
say,
nobody
I want
out
to
there
propose.
Who wanted to propose to their other half via the Business Bunker show.
Yeah, well,
what's that all about? Come on, people. You just scaredy cats out there, aren't
Maybe
they?
They're listening to LBC or something.
Yeah. Or Heart. They've all been on Heart this morning. Yeah. but if you do want those details, if you have a look on the Twitter feed, Richard has put up the link for the Cybersecurity Small Business Guide, which I think everybody should just download it and read through it and then keep it so you can refer to it. Definitely. So that's there. And what we'll do is actually we'll put that up on the business, the Biz Radio website, Kent Business Radio website, as a link as well, so people can find it there. So we have come to the end of another show. We've come to an end of another show, an end of another month. This actually has been the first show you've been on this year.
It is, yeah. I haven't been around for a while. Lisa was very cute in identifying that I hadn't been on the radio for a while.
No, exactly.
I haven't been in prison. Been speaking along the way. You know, I haven't done anything wrong. It's just I was poorly for the Christmas show, I think it was.
Poorly for the January show.
Poorly for the January show, and business has just got in the way. But it's good to be back.
Yeah, it's good to have you back. I shall be back next week, the first show of March. Hopefully spring is around the corner. A bit of sunshine would be nice. A little bit less wind and rain would be lovely.
Does that mean I can get the legs of hope out? Can I start wearing shorts?
You can never
now?
Get the legs of hope out. Never.
Yeah, very wise. Very wise.
I am back. And next week we have a guest co-host, which is Tabitha Beasley. And we're joined in the studio by an amazing guest. So tune in next week. Don't forget the Business Bunker show on Tuesday with Paul. He's got another great lineup of guests with co-hosts. Oh, it's the first of the month, isn't it? So co-host next week will be the lovely Jewel Serkin. Have a great weekend, everybody. Do stay safe in the wind. Don't take up paragliding or anything like that this weekend.
No.
Well, you could
stay
be.
Out of
you
the
could
storm.
Probably fly to America in the storm.
stay out of the weather.
Stay
Cover
you
your mouth when you sneeze.
Exactly.
And clean your hands afterwards.
Can you imagine you sneeze in the storm and then off you go?
That's how it's going to spread.
It's going to spread. You've heard it here
oh
first.
Oh, my God.
Have a great weekend, everyone. Bye.
The Business Bunker Extra with Amanda Flanders.
This is Channel 2.